This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What's up, guys? Our Nation Hoops podcast. My name is Solomon Ali at Red Nation Hoops on Twitter. And we're here late night, the day before game two. And I just rewatched that game one. I thought... You know, I wanted to take some time to get my thoughts together, you know, see the schemes and just kind of see what OKC was doing that first game, see what the Rockets are doing in that first game, and give you guys a better idea of you know, our thoughts, our analysis on the thing, on stuff. Here with Forrest Walker at Do Nots on Twitter. How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing good. So, thoughts off the top of your head on game one?
That one went better than I expected. that's number one, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not sure if I expect that going forward, but, it's really encouraging that the Rockets managed to play so well while shooting so poorly from beyond the 3-point line. And that was kind of one of everybody's big keys, right? When we were writing our preview, for this series, like I think, like I asked everybody, what's an important stat you're going to be watching? And pretty much everybody, except for I think it was Joshua, everybody picked 3-point percentage, right? Like that's like the stat that, you know, it pertains more to the Rockets more than any other team in the NBA. If they make their threes, they're in a good place. If they don't, they're kind of between a rock and a hard place, right? And they still managed to win that game without making their threes, which I thought was really encouraging.
Yeah, they were, what, 10 of 33 or so? So that's not great. I mean, it's not bad. It's not as bad as it sometimes has been. At the early part of the game when they were shooting, like, 3 for 18 or something, it was pretty grim looking. But, yeah, they hit a little, not even a lot more, just a little bit more of their threes. And then they just totally styled all over the Thunder. That was a big thing to see, that they actually can beat that team without shooting threes particularly well, though I think a large part of it was that they adapted very well to what was happening. They did just go inside a lot more. They decided, well, fine, if you guys are going to prioritize defending a three over everything else, we'll make you pay. So seeing that they actually have the ability to make them pay is really important. I would be very surprised if another game went that well in this series, but that's just because that was pretty much the most one-sided outcome you can expect.
Yeah, and I think you'd be naive to kind of expect that going forward. I think the Rockets kind of beat the Thunder at their own game, right? Like, they crashed the glass pretty hard, and they beat the Thunder in that aspect, which was pretty surprising because the Thunder are probably the best rebounding team in basketball this year. It was pretty simple that what the Thunder strategy was, right? And I don't necessarily think it was a bad strategy, right? It was just like, let's close out hard on the 3-point line and let's switch every pick and roll with James Harden and let's let him beat us, right? And you know, that's a good you know, strategy in theory. In reality, like, Harden just might beat you, right? Like,
you just beat him, yeah.
Yeah, like, that just might happen. And that's basically what happened for throughout the course of the game. Like, he started off the game rough, and that was because I think he was a little bit surprised by what the Thunder were doing, right? Like, they switched every pick and roll, and that's normally not how you guard James Harden. And, you know, like, his shooters weren't available to him. And it felt, like, I tweeted this during the game, it felt very much like the 2014-15 Rockets, where, like, they defended pretty hard, they crashed the glass hard, and they let Harden control the offense and do everything, right? Like, that's how it felt like the first half of that game. And they had, like, a 5-point lead going into the second half. And in the third quarter, they just kind of ran away with it because everything opened up for them inside the paint. Nene and Capella were, you know, flashing for every dunk imaginable. It was just like that game just was a myriad of dunks and layups and dunks and just like, and Patrick Beverley, like, and like that was like pretty much the best way you could describe that game. Dunks and Patrick Beverley, right? Like,
yeah, Patrick Beverley was amazing. the fact that the Rockets ops team actually showed the stat comparison between Beverley and Westbrook was amazing and hilarious. That's the most arrogant season thing I've ever seen. Yeah, the really, I think the rebounding, the incredible, like, unrelenting offensive rebounding and second chance points that the Rockets had, that huge advantage, that's not, that's the one that's like the biggest outlier to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I would be extremely surprised if Ryan Anderson continued to rebound at this level.
Yeah, like that's probably not sustainable, right? Like that's, I would say that's very much something you saw in this first game, and you're probably not going to see for the rest of the series. I think Mike D'Antoni even hinted at it during the post game presser. He was asked about the rebounds, and he was like, "You know what? Like that's, you know, we got lucky this time, but I mean, our goal is to kind of stay even with the Thunder on the boards, and we'll have a chance, right? Like." I don't think he kind of made it a goal. I don't think he emphasized beating the Thunder at their own game. I think that just kind of happened, right? Like I don't think that was a game plan at all. I'm pretty sure the Rockets would have liked making their threes, and it was very much an adjustment on the fly thing, right? Like the Thunder came out and did something that they haven't done against the Rockets all season series, right? And they adjusted accordingly, and credit to Mike D'Antoni for doing so. And they attacked every single one of those pick and rolls of James Harden. And it was pretty much a slaughterhouse. Every big that came on to James Harden, like, he didn't even like bother trying to shoot outside jumpers. He just went straight to the basket. And he had a poor shooting night from behind the arc, but that kind of didn't really matter because once he got going, rolling downhill, I mean, the floodgates kind of opened up, and then, you know, the Thunder had to make some hard decisions as to whether or not to pack the paint, and when they finally did, you know, his three-point shot came back in the fourth quarter, and you made a good point about Patrick Beverley, and Patrick Beverley had a hell of a game, probably the best game I've ever seen him play in a Rockets uniform, 21 points, he was amazing from beyond the arc, did a really great job on Russell Westbrook. That was a matchup we were really looking forward to watch going into this series. And Russ had a bad game, right? And I'm not necessarily sure that's all due to Patrick Beverley. I do think some of that's just random shooting luck, and I think that just kind of happens. But, I mean, Patrick Beverley did do a really great job at picking his pocket twice there and getting fired up. Like, do you remember that gif where Patrick Beverley looked at the Rockets crowd and he was just kind of doing that, you know?
He did the alien thing. Yes.
And I tweeted something along the lines, like, that's Patrick Beverley if he ever decided to become a motivational speaker, right? Like, he wouldn't say anything. He'd just do whatever the hell that was, right? And it got the crowd really riled up. God, I love Patrick Beverley, but and that's pretty much the story of the game. I mean, they really just attacked those pick and rolls. Every switch, like Cantor and Adams, had no chance out on an island with James Harden. And the three point shooting just didn't really matter because Nene and Capella were so great driving to the basket, and Lou Williams, to his credit, did a pretty good job of facilitating and finding those guys. And same with Patrick Beverley. Like, there was a play where Cantor and Adams kind of there's a great image of this. They basically squished Patrick Beverley, right? Like, and he found and he found Capella for the open dunk, and that's kind of the story for the game.
Yep, that even when they were just like compressing the Rockets, somebody would get free, and that would be it. And that was really impressive. Like, you could tell that they really did look a lot more engaged than they had since like December, early January, right? Like, they were there to win. Like, they could have been waiting for this the whole time. Yeah. So yeah, it was nice to see that kind of intensity. It's pretty impressive. They're a very chill team normally, but you don't want to make them not chill.
And yeah, and you allude to a great point there. Like, everybody looked like they really, they were prepared, ready, waiting for this game to kind of finally show up on the calendar. Everybody knew the Rockets were probably going to play the Thunder about 2 weeks before the season ended, right? That was the way the conference was shaking up. The Rockets were firmly locked into that third seed. Although they hadn't locked it up yet, it looked like it was a pretty long shot that the Jazz would catch up to them. That the Clippers would catch up to them. And it looked like the Thunder were locked in that sixth seed. So they kind of knew they were going to play the Thunder for a while. And I think that contributed to that late season malaise that they kind of showed, right? Like, there was a lot of games where they just didn't care. And they rested a lot down the stretch. And I think that really helped them. Like, Nene looked awesome. Like, especially in this game. Like, he looked so spry. He was dunking like crazy. He was finishing around the rim. He was rebounding. Capella looked awesome. Like, do you remember that one play where Capella, like, fell onto the floor and he basically did a squat and made that ridiculous, yeah, like, circus layup? Like, the bigs looked awesome. Good.
Yeah, they didn't even want to give that as a continuation at first, and then they're like, oh, I guess we have to. I guess he didn't dribble at all here.
I didn't think it was continuation at first either. And they showed the replay. I'm like, yeah, that's continuation, man. Like, and then he got rewarded for it. Like, the bigs looked really great. And that's kind of, like, a good sign going forward, because, like, you want Nene and Capella to have fresh legs, because they're kind of, like, they're what makes Houston opponents make tough decisions, right? Like, you can't show on James Harden pick and roll on James Harden's pick and rolls, because then you got to worry about Clint Capella and Nene flashing in for a dunk, and you can't leave the shooters, because, I mean, they're shooters, right? And you can't leave James Harden, because he's James Harden. And that's kind of what Billy Donovan was talking about after the game. He was like with this Rockets team, you kind of have to pick your poison, right? And the Thunder definitely picked their poison. They avoided a 3-point shot. And I thought that was I don't think it was a ridiculous strategy at all. Like, there are a lot of people killing the Thunder for this, and I think you can kill them for not adjusting in the second half. But I think it was a decent strategy that just backfired, because Patrick Beverley went off, and the bigs were just, like, awesome in the paint. Like, and they out rebounded the Thunder. Like, you can't really kill them for going with that strategy, right?
Yeah, and they got to figure out who they can and can't play somehow, and it's Cantor.
Yeah,
Cantor.
Did you see that one, like, video of Billy Donovan at the bench, and he just said it. Yeah, he just said can't play Cantor. I don't think we have anything else to say on this game. As far as game two going forward, I think this is going to be a lot closer than game one. Yeah.
There's not really much to go in the other direction.
Yeah. So. I just think Billy Donovan's a really great playoff coach. We saw this last year, right? Like, they got blown out by the Spurs last year in game one of the second round, and they kind of adjusted really well to that. And he made great adjustments throughout the playoffs. Like, I'm not sure if they're gonna keep switching on pick and rolls. I was listening to a practice interview with Billy Donovan, and he said they're probably not going to do that anymore. Like, apparently they weren't supposed to do that originally. Like, they weren't supposed to switch the pick and rolls originally. So I don't know what happened there. Like, if that was a miscommunication between Adams and Billy Donovan, or you know, Cantor and Billy Donovan, whatever it was. Like, maybe it was just an in-game situation thing where they just felt like they had to switch. I don't know, but apparently that wasn't the game plan going forward, but that's clearly not going to be the game plan now, right? Like,
no, it can't be.
Yeah. And that opens up a lot for the shooters, right? Like if they're not going to switch everything, that makes the passing lanes a lot more open. And that makes, like, a hot night from Ryan Anderson and a hot night from Eric Gordon more prone to happen.
Yeah. I'm not sure what they're going to do. I mean, presumably they're going to stay at home, you know, on Harden more. I guess they're going to probably try to give him better coverage. I mean, you really can't leave Stephen Adams and Enes Kanter alone with James Harden on an island. We saw what happened. Enes Kanter just got inverted. It was brutalizing.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they're going to have to do something new. they're going to have to double James Harden, probably, like, give that a go, and then we'll see if the other Rockets can make them pay for it. I mean, really, when it comes down to how playoff series tend to go, is that one team one team plays their way and wins that way, then the other team just tries to figure out how to counteract that, and eventually you can't make any more adjustments to counteract it. And it's a question of whether the Rockets can keep sending them new things they can't counteract or not. They ought to be able to. They're a better team. I think they've shown that not just over game one, but over the course of the entire season. So at this point, I think you definitely have to favor the Rockets in this series, which is the most lukewarm take of the century. But
Yeah,
yeah.
I think the Rockets are a better basketball team. That's just me. That's just my opinion. I'm not sure what you think. I'm not sure what anybody else thinks. I just have a feeling that they might be better at this whole basketball thing this year. That's just my take.
Yeah, I think that might be the case. And we'll see what's going to happen in the game tomorrow. Hey, maybe the Thunder will win that game. Nothing's off the table. It's the playoffs. Crazy things happen.
This could still very well be a six game series. I'm not ruling that out at all. Like the Rockets are probably not going to win the rebounding battle tomorrow. That seems like something that the Thunder are going to emphasize. I think they're going to play that Cantor and Adams at lineup a lot more, because that seems to be a way that they could probably, not beat the Rockets, but kind of
At least bully them a bit.
yeah, muck it up, right? That's the way they can kind of muck up the series. They're really good when they try offensive rebounding everything and try getting second chance points, right? Like that when you don't have shooters, like that's kind of the best thing to do, right? Offensive rebound everything. And that's kind of what the Rockets did, because their shooters weren't making anything in the last game. And that's kind of why I think the Thunder are going to do this game, right? I think they're going to try to go after every shot Russ puts up. I think Adams and Cantor are going to be right there. I'm assuming they're going to play that two big lineup. Even if they don't, they're definitely going to play Jeremy Grant a lot more. I think they ought to, because he's just a really good defender, and he's really athletic. Gives them a lot of vertical spacing that they didn't have before. I think they're just gonna try to play more to their game. I think they fell into the Rockets' hands a little bit in this series. Like they kind of overthought it in trying to game plan for the shooters. But I think next game, I think they're gonna dominate the glass a little bit more, and that's where the Rockets got to make their shots. And that's kind of where the series is up in the air, and that's kind of why we all predicted that making their threes is gonna be important, right? Like they might have gotten away with it this game, but they're probably gonna have to make. They're probably gonna have to do better than 10 for 33, right? Like Ryan Anderson is probably gonna have to make a lot more of his shots. Patrick Beverley has to continue his stellar play. I'm glad they got this. They got these 3 games, these 3 days off, because like man, Patrick Beverley got hit pretty hard on that
Yeah,
screen.
he sure did.
Yeah, like.
He went down hard. People were like, "Why doesn't he get a concussion protocol? We need to figure this out. Is he okay?"
Yeah. Like we need to get him to the bench and do that flashlight eye thing. Like we need to like stop the game. Like put him in bubble wrap. Do something. Like that looked really, really, like awful. Like it hurt me just watching that play. Like Adams clearly stuck his shoulder out there. It didn't get called. Whatever. But I mean, Patrick Beverley got up. It seemed like he played a lot better after that. I feel like it fired him up. Patrick Beverley's just weird that way. But I'm glad they're getting this day off. Like maybe if he hurt his back there, you can put some ice on it, put some heat on it, whatever, get better. And by the way, it looks like Harden's healthy. I have a feeling Harden's wrist is fine now. He was making all his shots this game, and since I haven't put the stat up on Twitter yet, but he's been doing a lot better since they took that game off. In I think it was Phoenix, right? Yeah, and since they took that game off in Phoenix, he's been playing a lot better. Like it looks like that wrist isn't bothering him at all. And it worried me there for a second when he came out with that quote saying the wrist is what it is. But I mean, it looks like he's fine, and that's really encouraging for the Rockets.
Yeah, he seems like he's back to form, which is really good for Houston and really bad for the Thunder. We're gonna see a pretty knockdown drag out fight, I think, tomorrow. If the Thunder are going to make a counterpunch, it's got to be tomorrow. You can't go down 2-1. You can't go down 2-0 in a series like this. You can't be the Celtics. Don't do that. Coming back from a 2-0 deficit is really hard. Like the Thunder are not good enough, I think, to pull off winning 4 and 5 games. I think you gotta win this one. Like if they don't come out with all guns blazing, they're up the creek. So we'll see how well they're able to do with that.
Yeah, and I think Russ is going to play a lot better. That's pretty much guaranteed, right? Like, there's no way he could play worse than what he did on Sunday. Like, and that's a big thing for the Thunder if he plays well. Like, the Thunder strategy is pretty much keep the game close. So for the last 5 minutes, you have a chance, right? Like, I don't think there's any situation you can see the Thunder getting a large deficit. I mean, getting a large lead over the Rockets. Like, I have a hard time picturing that. But I think the strategy is like let's try to keep the game close to the last 5 minutes and let Russ do his thing, right? Because that's kind of worked. That's kind of what's worked for them all season. I think that's probably what their best game plan is going forward.
Yeah, I mean, one of the strengths is that Russ can seemingly just turn it on at the end. Like I've joked around that Russ has a special ability that any lead against his team only counts as one quarter in the last quarter. Like if you're up 10 against him, you're actually only up like two or three because they'll just find a way to close it up somehow. They didn't in game one, but it was also just so far out of hand that there was not really a chance for it to happen.
And we'll see what happens. Like I'm 99% sure the Thunder are going to come out a lot better than what they did on Sunday. It's pretty much impossible for them not to, considering how awful they looked on Sunday. I think they're going to be a lot better on the glass. I think Russ is going to be a lot better. I think the game's going to be a lot closer. I still think this series is going to be compelling. Like for the national audience, like I don't think you guys are going to be missing out on any and on what should be a fun series. I still think the series has the potential to be a lot of fun. I still think the potential for a Russ Harden duel is still very much on the table. Just because Russ didn't play well in the first game, like he's a superstar. He's gonna bounce back and play awesome the next 3 games. And Harden should like it's gonna be interesting to see how Harden responds to whatever the OKC does next, because I don't think they're gonna switch everything this time. But whatever they do, I think Harden's gonna be pretty well prepared for it because he's a very smart player. And yeah, I think the next game should be fun. I think it should be close. And we're gonna be doing a lot of these podcasts after every game. Not it may not be right after every game, but it's gonna be in between each game, and you'll be able to get a podcast and get a preview for the next game. And yeah, guys, subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Follow me on Twitter at Red Nation Hoops. Follow Forrest on Twitter at Do Nots. And yeah, guys, good night.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G, because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.